Many, even many churches got to jump on this bandwagon. They start to talk about Christian psychology and counseling from the pulpit rather than faithfully teaching the Word of God. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against Christian counseling. I strongly believe that there is a place for it, there's a need for it, for biblical counseling to those who are in need with godly guidelines. Whether it's for their marriage, finance, raising children, or any other subject. In this new Fed, with this new Fed, all of a sudden this two phrases start to float again. It's an old phrase from 1896, but it came back. First one is that heaven help those who help themselves. And the second one is that this too shall pass. Did you notice that? So many people think that they are from the Bible. As a matter of fact, according to the Christian Research Group, George Barner, they reported that 8 out of 10 people in America believe that these two phrases are in the can be found in the Bible. You don't. You do not. As a matter of fact, God doesn't want you to help yourself. And yeah, time will pass, but this particular phrase is not in the Bible. English poet John Donne simply said, "No man is island. No man is an island. We need each other. We need advice from other people. We need guidance from other people who, you know, typically been there, done that, bought the shirts." See, it's very important for a person to pass along the experience and wisdom of life to other younger people. Many times we don't follow the things that are given to us. Bible is full of wise word and counsel from the Holy Spirit to us. The reason why we choose to not to follow what the Bible says because we have the pride in our heart. And that's the problem. That's the problem with the counseling. People don't want to hear. People choose not to give a counsel because for whatever the reason is. This is the last study of the book of Proverbs. As a matter of fact, from next week, we are going to start a new book, 2 Timothy. I am really looking forward to this 2 Timothy, the last book of the Apostle Peter. Paul. It is known as a Paul's swan song to his protege, Timothy. It is very hard for him because he's facing imminent death, and he's pouring out his heart to this spiritual son, Timothy. So I'd like you to start read ahead. It's only 6 chapters. You can sit down and read it, complete it in less than 25 minutes of your time. So let me explain to you what I'm going to talk about. First thing is, what is meant by the counseling in the Old Testament? We're going to look at the 3 definitions. Second thing is, what is the benefit of the biblical counseling? What is the biblical benefit of biblical counseling? There are 4 points I'd like to bring it to you. And third thing that I'd like to show you is what are the qualifications to be a counselor? What are the qualifications to be a counselor? There's 5 things I'm going to talk about. And fourth thing is, why do I need to get counseled by a Christian? Why do I need to get counseled by a Christian? Fifth thing is counseling always successful? Is counseling always successful? We'll talk about one at a time. Let's start with the first one. What is meant by counseling in the Old Testament? We're going to take a look at these 3 things, even though there are many more definitions in the Old Testament. The first thing is sod. This is Hebrew word, S-O-D. You find it in Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans go awry. In the multitude of a counselor, they are established. The word counsel here, when you look at it, if you have a Hebrew Bible, you will see the word sod, S-O-D. It means that being brought close together for the purpose of secret communication and counsel. It's the ingredient of the confidentiality, which is a very important part in counseling. We are going to talk more about that a little later. And the second definition you find is a talk block. Talk block. You find in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, please. 1, 5. Go there, please. Proverbs 1:5. It's going to take some time for me to get used to with the height. Different. The wise man will hear increased learning, and the man of understanding will attain wise counsel. In this counsel word in Hebrew is takblak. Solomon used this word, and the root term is to bind, to pledge. Originally, it came from the tying the rope and steering and changing the direction. So that is a perfect description of a counseling. If the person is going the wrong direction, counselor will lead that person to the right direction. Third definition from the Hebrew word can be found in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but the counselor of peace have joy. Popular counseling method today is a defined counselor will just listen and take a note, and keeping himself or herself in neutral position. Not giving out the judgment, just listen and kind of going along, offering, kind of holding back the advice. I wonder why anybody would pay $150 per hour to go out somewhere to tell your life story or what you're going through in your mind, in your head, to somebody, but that person is not really giving you advice. If you have that kind of money, come see me. I'll listen to you, and I'll get paid $150 from you. I have a better suggestion. Read this book. You will find a lot of counsel. It's a free, untappable. See, that to give a wise yet means sharing godly, direct, objective information. Godly, direct, and objective information. Okay? Let's stop here and let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are most grateful that you are our God, wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Your word says that you are wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. So we now ask you, Lord, to give us counsel to understand your truth. We also lift up the Joel Prepolovsky. We're asking you to touch that little body and touch a little lung. And whatever the causing problem, we are asking you to, by your power, heal him. So that the doctors and nurses will not have any explanation other than saying, this is a miracle of God. And you alone receive all the glory and honor and praise and adoration. And give a peace and patience to Mom Melania's heart and Dad Paul. Comfort them. Let them have a faith in you. We also lift up the President Obama, that he may come to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And pray for the troops, especially one who is in Afghanistan, as they have this big attack against Taliban. We are heard that there are 3 soldiers already got killed. Father, we are asking you to protect them. You go with them. Surround them with your strong, righteous right arm. Put the hedge of protection around them. that they may be protected from any incoming bullet or cannon. Father, we are asking you to protect them and bring them back to their families, to their homes. And also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters around this community. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the benefit of biblical counseling? First thing I find is to help and heal, relieve anxiety. To help, heal, and relieve anxiety. Let's go to 12:18. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Some people who, as soon as they open their mouth, they said awful things. They just said things that hurting other people, right? Do you know a few people like that? And then there is another people who open their mouths, there's soothing, healing power come from their mouth. Go down to verse 25, please. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word make it glad. See, no one can escape the bumps and bruises of life in this fallen world. We all get that kind of thing. However, the tongue of the wise act like a soothing and therapeutic medicine because the truth and healing comes from the Word of God. It strengthens our inner spirit and it allows us to fight infection of anxiety. It helps us to fight. Second point we need to get is the benefit of a biblical counseling is to help us find the maximum fulfillment in life. Chapter 11, verse 14, please. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. It does not matter how wise or smart one person can be, but wise counsel from the variety of people give us a full perspective. And it becomes a fuller and more accurate picture of opinion available in our lives. In the multitude of the counsel, we find safety. And third benefit we find is to help us plan correctly. We already read chapter 15, verse 22, so we'll move to chapter 20, verse 18. Plans are established by the council, by wise counsel, wage war. When I talk to some Christians about that when I get to talk to them, some people say, well, we're going to move to such and such a place, or I'm going to get a job here, or I'm going to marry to this person. My normal question is, did you pray about it? Is that what God wants? And they have this look. It's that kind of blank look. It's a, what do you mean, ask God? What they're saying is, well, that's what I want, so I'm assuming that that would be what God wants. Really? I didn't get that. In many occasions, they have not consulted with the Lord. They just assume that since this is what they want, that should be what God wants. Not so. We need to seek His will for us every aspect of our lives. And you may say, do I need to ask God to... if I want the French dip or cheeseburger. No, they're not that kind of thing. Yep. Yeah, French dip sounds good, huh? Yeah. Fourth benefit, to help us to become wise, to see life through the lens of God's divine viewpoint, from the God's perspective. The world's idea of confidence and best option are often from and are far from God's will. When the believers take the cues from the worldly ways and that their lives become scarred and circumvented by their own foolish things and choices. And guess what they do? When the things go wrong and they get beat up in bitterness, and they start to blame God. Let's face it, we all are good at blaming somebody, especially God. Everything is God's fault when the things goes wrong. So what are the qualifications to be a counselor? Good and godly counselor should have a following five traits to be an effective counselor according to the book of Proverbs. First thing I find is purity of life. Purity of life. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 18. 4:18. Wow, what do you know? I haven't seen anybody who's falling asleep. I like this mobile pulpit. You watch, I'm going to be right in front of you. But the path of just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like a darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. If your life is full of contradiction, I'm talking to the counselors. If your life is full of contradiction and sin, the people who seek counsel will not see you as an example to follow. In other words, I'm not saying that you have to have a perfect life. Nobody does. But your life must back up what you say to the others. Second trait you should have is confidentiality. Confidentiality. Chapter 11, verse 13, please. 11:13. We read this verse when we studied the gossip. Talebearer bears a secret, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals a matter. One of the most basic requirements for a good counselor is a closed mouth. Confidentiality brings forth security and trust, which opens up the freedom in communication and communicating, and the effective counselor respects the power of information and handles with it. Extreme discretion. You get to know a person's weakness, which probably can destroy that person from church congregation or society. But you protect that with extreme discretion. Of course, there is a difference. Just simply knowing the one thing and then knowing the criminal activity is a different thing. Third thing that the counselor should have is a timing and tact. Timing and tact. 15:28, please. Chapter 15:28. And some of you are thinking, well, I'm not going to be a counselor, so I don't need to listen to this. You never know. God might put somebody in front of you, and you are the one who's going to be used by God. Verse 28, the heart of a righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pour forth evil. That is such a great description. Pour forth evil. The competent counselor is a patient, slow to speak, quick to listen. At the appropriate time, the counselor gives a precisely and carefully crafted word of counsel instead of insensitively dumping everything without knowing how the counselee can handle it. Some people, they do this, beep, 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 pull back a dump truck and unload the whole thing. And so there, now you got it? And the counselor is under the pile of dead, whatever that thing is. And they say, no, I cannot even breathe. Don't do that. Fourth trait is honesty. I find it in chapter 24, verse 23. 24:23. Bless you. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. He who said to the wicked, you are righteous, him the people will curse. The nation will abhor him. But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight. and the good blessing will come upon them. He who gives the right answer kisses his lips. See, the people who really want help, want to change their lives with godly guidance, will appreciate the truth. You're telling them truth, even though they may not like it when they hear what you just said. You need to speak the truth in right timing with a carefully crafted word with a tact. Okay? And then fifth trait is a genuine interest and love. Chapter 27, verse 9, please. 27:9. Ointment and perfume delights the heart, and the sweetness of man's friend gives delight by the hearty counsel. Each time we apply this fourth trait which we just learned, if you do that, the counselee will see you have a genuine interest and love for that person. It will make an impact in their lives. You with me? Okay. So why do I need to get counsel by Christian? Why not somebody with all this PhD, THD, whatever, HD? TV, yeah, whatever. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19:21. What am I missing here, ladies? Nothing? Oh, laughing at me. Nice. Thank you, Susanna. I thought you were my bud. Laughing with me. I get no respect. There are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. Psalm 1:1. Turn book all the way to the front. You there yet? Blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornful. Bless you. Back to Proverbs 12:5. The thoughts of righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. It is so important for Christians to receive the sound biblical counseling from a godly counselor, not from an unbeliever. It doesn't matter how many doctorate degrees that person has. But he or she, that person who is not a believer, that person cannot impart the godly counsel you desperately need. You hear me? Especially in the marriage counseling. If you go see this unbelieving counselor, and you talk to them about this marriage situation, and if it's too difficult, do you know what they will say to you? Easy way out. Divorce. Separation. What does the Word of God say? There's a few exceptions. There's a divorce. But in most cases, God says, work through it. Let me say this to you. Just in case any of you are considering divorce right this moment, hear me well. If you jump out of your marriage, listen, if you jump out of marriage, most of the time you're walking out with the baggage with you. You get involved with somebody else, you already have the baggage, you haven't taken care of, that baggage will go with you to the next person. And you're wondering, why do I have the same problem? All right, let me tell you. Hello? Because you still have that baggage. You haven't dealt with that problem. Psychologists and psychotherapists insist that they are the ones who know all things. They are the ones who have authority in human mind. But I beg the difference. God is the one who really knows the deepest things of human. And rather than depending on another sinful human theories about humans, we should consult the Creator's handbook, the Bible. The true biblical counseling should be based on what the Lord teaches us through His Word. Okay? So it is important for you to take the counsel from another believer, godly believer. We have, in our church, we have a group of godly people who can give you counsel. Pastor Jack Leverty, way in the back over there. I've known him for 20 years. He has insight and wisdom that he can share with you. Also, he has a lot of useless information as well. If you want to go, you want to talk about that, he'll be all ears. You ask him about train. He will unload more than you can possibly handle. And Pastor Merrill Simon and his wife Cindy Simon, they've been doing the premarital counseling several times. And they're very knowledgeable and they're very wise in many things. Of course, the elder Jerry Hamby over there and his wife Renee, who is working in the children's ministry, they're expert in marriage, finance, and many other spiritual things. And Mike Soldowich, way in the back, he is excellent and much needed. He has information for the finance. Go see him. And there is the flower over way in the back, my wife, Karen. She can come alongside of you ladies to help you with a wise counsel. Go talk to them. You don't need somebody with all this pile high and deep in, you know, PhD. That's what it means. Pile high and deep. Or THD for the thud. You ask them. They are available for you. But you have to go to them with an open heart. If you said, I'm not going to change anything, then you're wasting your time and wasting their time. So let me say this. Is a counsel always successful? Is a counseling always successful? There is absolutely no counselor can guarantee that the outcome of the counseling in a positive way, it will be positive every time. Because even at their best, still they can make a mistake. And missed cue and just wrong conclusion, that's all it takes. If the root problem is involved medical issue, it just the situation gets a little harder than ever before. Even if everything is done properly and the medical issue is not involved, the result of a counseling can still not be right. The book of Proverbs tells us why. First thing I find, the first reason is the counsel is ignored. The counsel is ignored. Chapter 10, verse 17, please. Chapter 10, verse 17. He who keeps instruction in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. I know a man who is an alcoholic. Don't look for him because he's not here, okay? This alcoholic person, he knows what he needs to do. He needs to quit. He knows that if he continues to drink, he's going to kill himself or kill somebody else. And I call him, ask him, did you drink? Oh, no. And guess what I find out? He just had a beer in his hand when he was answering the phone. Person who don't want to be changed, it doesn't matter how many times that person goes through counseling, they don't change. The result of any counseling situation ultimately rests on the hands of a counselee. They may give the best advice, but if they choose to discard it or ignore it, nothing will change. This happens very, very often. Second reason why the counseling is not always successful is chapter 18, verse 2. Fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. In other words, this person only wants to talk. He just want to talk about his walls. He doesn't care about the inside or direction or reproof. He's simply enjoying talking about it. And if they want you to agree with what they're about to do, no matter what the counselor tells them. You know, when I do the counseling, usually start within this matter. If I tell you, if I show you what you need to do from the Bible, would you do it? I make a point blank question, and they say yes, then we continue. If they say no, okay, the counseling session is over. Don't waste my time, but don't waste your time. Because don't think that I will have a better answer than what the Bible can tell you. I'm just human. This is the Word of God. How any human's word can override God's word? If you're not going to do this, let's not waste time. Faith should be you are willing to be changed by the Word of God, then we have something to stand on. Third reason why it doesn't work is if they don't desire to change. Of course, it's a kind of similar tone. It's verse 19 of chapter 19. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. That is so true. Desire, the will to change and give up old habit to take on new must be present before the lasting change can occur. You get that? You must have a willingness to be changed. This is the reason why I tell our people, our leadership, those who are counseling, you will not call that person to make an initiation. Unless that person make an initiation, willingness to be changed, no sense in giving call or no sense in making initiation. Counselor should not contact counselee to start the counseling. Let me say one more time. Counselor should not contact counselee to start counseling. You get that? Fourth reason is that some cover up and defend. Some cover up and defend. Chapter 29, verse 9. Last verse. If a wise man content with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. Some of you have already done the counseling, and it goes like this. And when you tell them the truth, and this person gets angry with you. Have you ever had that situation before? And they start to throw a temper tantrum, even showing the violence. Or they start to laugh, like the biggest, funniest joke they just heard. In other words, they're not taking that seriously. All to make you think that your advice is nonsense and they cannot possibly take it seriously. When that person starts doing that kind of thing, counseling session is over. You walk away. No sense in continue. Let's make three applications. Number one, if you are seeking counsel, look for godly counselors from the church. Okay? If you're looking for a counselor and counsel, look for the godly counselor from the church. Second application. If you are going to give a counsel, do not base your counsel on anything else other than the Bible. I don't care what kinds of encyclopedia of counseling you have. That is not as good as the Bible itself. Thirdly, before each counseling session starts, ask the Lord to guide your time in prayer. If you don't invite God, if you are not including Him in your counseling, it's not going to work well. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. It's easy for some of us to hide our problem, not seeking counsel from you and from the godly people. Father, we are asking you to have a courage to confront this problem some of us have, and let us make it better by seeking your counsel, seeking your way. While your head's bowed and eyes closed, if you have that kind of situation, before you walk out the door, grab one of those people whom I mentioned. They are not the only people who are available and godly in our church. The Sutton is here and the Lehman's here. And the Hurley's here. And other ministry leaders here. You talk to them. Don't walk out the door without starting the initiation, okay? We thank you, Lord. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.